First of all, because we must do so at the risk of losing our faith. Why do we have to grow in the faith? Because we are living in the most educated society of human history. Why grow in the faith? Because there is so much alerted opposition to the Catholic faith. Why grow in the faith? Because there are so many who are giving up their Catholic faith. Why grow in the faith? Because so many would become Catholic if only they understood the Catholic faith. We have the duty to share the faith. And finally, why grow in the faith? Because there is so much strength provided by the faith, provided our faith is understood. Our plan for this meditation is, what is Christ teaching on understanding the faith? Secondly, what does it mean to grow in the faith? And most practically, how do we grow in the virtue that I'm afraid most people take for granted? Growing in humility, growing in patience, growing in charity, but seldom even a thought to growing in the virtue of faith. First, then, the teaching of Christ. It is all locked up in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Remember the occasion. Christ is telling the parable of the sower who went to sow his seed. Oh, good seed. But this good seed fell on different kinds of soil. First, on the pathway, then on rocky ground, amid thorns, and only finally, on good soil. Over the years, I've told people, change the one letter in the word soil and make it soul. Same divinely revealed truth. But what a difference. What a difference into what soil, otherwise known as soul, that seed of the Word of God is sown. The 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, by the way, and we're following chronologically. Having seen the Sermon on the Mount, we are now reflecting on Christ's teaching, especially in his teaching the parable of the sower. Says Christ, the first seed falls on the pathway. The birds of the air pick it up. Who are they in whose soul, alias soil, the first good seed falls and produces no yield? They are those, Christ explains, who fail to understand the Word of God sown in their hearts. So what happens? Still Christ speaking. So the devil steals the Word of God from their hearts. There are many other reasons why people, having been given the faith, produce no yield. Rocky ground, Christ says, symbolizes troubles and opposition. Expect opposition, my friends. It's great. That's what the eighth beatitude is all about. At the rocky ground, or in Christ's parable, the thorns. They are the worries of this world, and the lure of possession. Whether material possession or what can be even more seductive, how well I know. Intellectual possession, the mind growing in knowledge. Great. But if Christ could say, as he did, how hard it is for the rich man to enter heaven, that wealth is not only material wealth, believe me, it is also intellectual wealth. Again, how painfully well I know. However, Christ placed first the primary cause for people, having received the faith, abandoning it. The main reason, now 1900 years of Christian commentary on the Gospels, the main and most fundamental reason is failure to understand the faith. I hope by the time we finish this meditation, you'll not be wondering, this is supposed to be a retreat. What does understanding the faith have to do with a spiritual life? ? Answer, everything. The phenomenon of our times, among so many Catholics, how well I know, so many priests, so many religious, in my unsuccessful conversation trying to save the faith of a bishop, we better know, we better realize how indispensable it is in our, what I would call, over-educated age. Understanding the faith is so necessary, even to keep the faith, not to say, put it into, if need be, heroic practice. Second question. What does it mean to grow in the faith? Faith, we should remind ourselves, is the assent of the mind to everything which God has revealed. on his authority, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. I think I've asked the question, what is the most Protestant language in the world? English. For centuries now, most of what we call English literature has been written by people who do not have our faith. What's been the result? The meaning of words, one after another. We use a word, another person speaking our language uses the same word. What a difference in meaning. The latest, unabridged, Third International Webster's Dictionary of the English Language, after spending millions in research and writing that huge, expensive International English Dictionary, the editors decided, and they so state, it is no longer possible to publish an English dictionary which defines the meaning of words. Let me repeat. It is no longer possible to publish an English dictionary that gives the definition of words. All that can be done now is to publish a close dictionary which describes how words are used. Such massive confusion in the English-speaking world over the meaning of even such very simple and, you will think, obvious words as faith. What then is faith? As we Catholics define, and we still define, by the way, it is the assent of the mind to be distinguished from consent with the will. We accept with our minds. We make God's revealed word our own. Faith is the humble submission of our intellect to the all-wise and all-truthful mind of God. Thus we believe. And we believe with the mind. In the Incarnation, we believe in the infallible teaching of the Church. We believe, honest Catholics still believe in the indissolubility of marriage. Did you know that? And the Catholic Church will survive in only those countries and those dioceses where there are still bishops and people who believe in the indissolubility of sacramental consummated marriage. He believes in the Church's teaching on sexual morality. He believes in the real peasants, that Jesus Christ, the same identical Jesus that Mary conceived in her womb at Nazareth, gave birth to in Bethlehem, is on earth. We believe in the sacrament of confession. No wonder the Holy Father, on his first mission, as I call it, to the United States in Chicago, spoke to the assembled hierarchy and told them, in God's name, will you please have your people receive the sacrament of confession? We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the existence of life after death. I prefer never to speak of a person dying. A body dies. We never do. Period. We believe in heaven, hell, and purgatory. Honest? Yes. We believe in the primacy of the Pope. We believe in the need to practice charity. And we believe in the value of patient suffering. And so the litany goes on. Then we ask ourselves, what does it mean to grow in the faith? You add weight or size. What happens to the faith when we grow in it? I've got 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. 12, let's call them synonyms for growing in the faith. Our faith becomes more intelligible. Makes more sense. Or, better, makes more mind. See how preoccupied we are with the material world? Imagine saying about something that's not important, it doesn't spirit. Doesn't what? It doesn't spirit. What do we say? It doesn't matter. We grow in our faith, and our faith becoming more clear. What a difference between two Catholics, both of whom believe in the real presence. So they say. But the one, and may be very educated, in fact, may be too educated for his own good. I'm sure you've heard this famous syllogism of Martin Luther. First premise, God is everywhere. Is that true? Christ is God. Is that true? Conclusion, therefore, Christ is everywhere. Is that true? You better pause. You better clarify. Christ, as the second person of the Blessed Trinity who became man, is not everywhere. He is only in heaven at the right hand of his heavenly Father, and on earth in the Holy Eucharist. How do I grow in my faith? By having my faith become more clear. How do we grow in our faith? Our faith becomes more certain, more sure, more firm. What a difference among 10 Catholics. The difference in the firmness of mental, what shall they call it, adherence to, holding on to what they know is true, no matter who. And that's the crisis today in the church. No matter who questions or doubts or says the opposite. How do I grow in my faith? Then my understanding of the faith is more accurate. I've taught too many priests. I've examined too many Jesuits in their theology of a final profession, not to know a person may be a sincere believer, but intermingled with the truth can be all kinds of misshapen error. How do we grow in our faith? By having our faith become more defensible. And the worst critic of our faith, hear it, is our own mind. And the more penetrating the intellect, the more acute the mind, the more learned the individual, the more that mind will be constantly raising questions, difficulties. So what? As Carl Jungman tells us, 1,000 difficulties don't make a doubt. How do we grow in our faith? By having our faith become more consistent with reason. Hear it. There is no rational ground for doubting or denying a single article of the Catholic faith. Some years ago, 3-day dialogue with a professed atheist at the University of Michigan. In the opening talk, I told Dr. Van Buren, my opposite number, "Dr. Van Buren, I'm hoping I will finally meet a really intelligent atheist who can defend his atheism to the hilt." He promised to qualify. By the end of the second day, he fluked out. I pitied him. Our minds are to grasp and grow in what God has revealed. We grow in our faith by our faith becoming more definite, more specific. We grow in our faith by having our faith becoming more communicable. I'm embarrassed when I reread some of the things I published years ago. Oh, Hardin, I say to myself, you fool. Big polysyllabic words to impress people. Well, with my erudition. I did tell you, didn't I? Now, the whole vocabulary of the Bible is less than one-third of that of Shakespeare and Milton. Remember? It is one thing to have a deep, profound grasp of my faith. It's something else to be able to communicate that whenever possible in monosyllables. Over the years, among the most satisfying years of my ministry as a priest, whenever I had a chance to talk to and counsel the retarded girls in Our Lady of Providence School in Chicago. On occasion, I'd be privileged to give the baccalaureate address. They had reached the chronological age of 16 and the mental age of 6. There is no such thing as a retarded mind. I can spend the next 3 hours proving that statement. To be able to talk to children and to be understood, that's growing in the faith. We grow in our faith by having our faith satisfying to our whole being. The joy, the thrill of being a believing Catholic. And we go in our faith by making our faith workable. There is only one authentic pragmatism in the world, and that is Catholic Christianity. It works. Now the next question, how are we to grow in our faith? We grow in our faith by putting our faith into practice. And the statement of St. James should be burned in our brains. Faith without good works is dead. We believe in the fact that prayer is necessary. So we pray. And you're not making a good retreat unless, as a result of this retreat, you will pray more frequently and more fervently. Otherwise, I wasted your time. We go in our faith by putting it into practice. We believe in the Holy Eucharist. Say more about the Holy Eucharist before the end of the retreat. So, what a difference between being in chapel in body and being in chapel in mind. Have you ever had to catch yourself? If you did, before your stay in chapel. I'm in the presence of Christ. He's really here.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the cassette over for side two.